So it's a new year. Happy New Year. We may not, I don't know if you know this, we don't really attach that much spiritual significance to a new year. But we do remember that God created the seasons and the cycles through which the earth spins and orbits and rotates and around the sun. And God created that. That was God's idea. And so in a sense, every new year was God's design. He causes the sun to rise and set and rise again, and day after day and weeks were God's idea, and the seasons, of course, and the years come and go, and it was God's plan. It was the pattern that He chose to build into this world when He created it and gave us this home in which we live. The years measure out our lives. The years mark the passage of time, the ages of humanity. And so this is the year of our Lord, 2019. And we remember that it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus was born. It's been 3,000 years since King David ruled in Jerusalem. It's been 3,500 years since God led the Israelites out of Egypt. And so you think about how time passes and our lives as we live 80, 90, some of us pushing 100 years. But God knows how long each one of us will live. Times change. People come and go. But what does not change year after year, what does not change is God. Our God never changes. His character, His love, His purpose for humanity, all of these remain constant. God is steadfast. God is faithful to all of His promises, all of His plans, year after year, century upon century. God never changes. So while the world rang in the new year with parties and probably some bubbly beverages, we celebrate the new year by praising the name of Jesus Christ, by rejoicing in God's faithfulness, in God's never-changing character. Long ago, when the Israelites would go to worship in Jerusalem, they would always talk about going up to worship because Jerusalem, the city, was built on a hill, and particularly the temple was built on the most prominent place there at the top of that hill in Jerusalem, on a level place that the Israelites built, and there was the temple. And as they would go up to worship, they would often sing songs, and sometimes they would even dance. And you remember the story of King David dancing before the ark as it was carried up into Jerusalem and toward what would eventually be, of course the temple didn't exist yet, but eventually that spot where the temple would be. And David danced, and the people would shout for joy, and they would sing songs aloud. And one of the songs that they would sing is one of the best-known psalms, and we heard part of it earlier in the service, but I'm going to read all of it to you now, Psalm 100. And it was sort of the national hymn or psalm of thanksgiving for the Israelites. And so you can imagine them heading up to worship at the temple, singing these words: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." This was a song that the Israelites sung, I would imagine, several times a year as they would gather for worship and head up to the temple and meet there with God, knowing that God is, in fact, their God. The Lord is God, and He is good. And this psalm continues to serve that purpose for us. It calls us to worship. It invites us to remember who God is. And so as we enter into this new year, we give thanks to the Lord. We give thanks to our God, who is good, whose love endures forever. The first thing that this psalm reminds us of is that our worship should be joyful. Our worship should be joyful. Shout for joy. Worship with gladness. Come before God with joyful songs. Joy, of course, is not something that you can buy at Target. You did not unwrap joy under your Christmas tree. Whatever you unwrapped, it wasn't joy. It might have brought you happiness. It might have been a good thing, but it wasn't joy. Joy, you see, is something that happens inside of our souls. Joy happens in that hidden part of our hearts, and it comes when we know God, and when we know who God is, and when we understand how much He loves you. That's when you feel joy. We find joy when we read God's promises in His Word, and when we recognize His hand of blessing in our lives day after day. When we see God and His goodness, we have joy in our hearts. The Lord fills us with joy, and in response, we worship Him. Worship is the natural response, is the outcome, it's what we do when we feel joy. We worship God. That's what joy means. It's why we have the word rejoice. When we feel joy, we rejoice. We worship. So the question for you this morning is, do you feel joy? As you come into worship today, as you come to meet with God, do you have that feeling deep inside your heart that you are joyful? The best worship flows from joyful hearts. As joyful people enter into God's presence, we come to worship Him, I hope, in joyful ways, that we bring joy with us. Of course, we have reason to rejoice. We know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We know that God loves us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, so that we could have everlasting life in His name. And that is the reason that we have joy in our hearts, and that joy should bubble over and flow freely and turn into worship, should turn into praise and rejoicing. It should flow from our hearts and our tongues so that the people who are filled with joy can worship in joyful ways. So as joy overflows your heart today, which I hope it does, I hope that it spills out in songs and in words and in prayers and in how you live your life, how you show the joy of Jesus Christ everywhere you go, not just here in worship, but as you leave this place and as you go through your week and as you deal with difficult people and as you deal with the ordinary things of life and wherever you go, that joy that you feel because you know God will be evident in your life. We find joy in knowing Him. And so we worship Him with joyful hearts. But Psalm 100 also tells us other amazing things. It reminds us that the Lord calls us His people. And in response, we call Him our God. Verse 3 says, "The Lord, know that the Lord is God. It's He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And this was for the Israelites. Think about folks who lived before Jesus came into the world, back in the Old Testament time. The Israelites, this was their identity. This is what made them special. This idea that they were God's own people, chosen from among all the peoples, all the nations. Anyone that God could have chosen, He chose the descendants of Israel. They became His special people. And that was important to them. But then we move ahead into the New Testament and into where we live, into the church age, people who now know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have something even more glorious that's been revealed in our time. And that is that God doesn't want just one nation or one group of people. Now God wants people from every nation. and every people group and every language and every tribe and everywhere you go in this world, God wants those people to come and be His people through Jesus Christ. And that is the promise of the good news that Jesus came to bring. That people everywhere, no matter who you are, or what you look like, or what language you speak, or where you think you belong, that you are loved by God and He is inviting you to be a part of His kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, the good news is that we have become the adopted children of God. And so you think about your own background in life and your family heritage. I know there's a thing now, people test their DNA. It gets some politicians in trouble, apparently. But you can send off your, whatever it is, your saliva or something, and then they send you back your results. And you find out you're 3% this and 1% that and 97% whatever. And I don't know if it all adds up to 100. I'm guessing it doesn't. I don't put a lot of faith in those DNA tests. But you think about where you think you've come from and who your people were and your culture and your language and what makes you different from someone on the other side of the world. But you see, there are some things that we all have in common, and one of the things that we all can have in common is that we can all become the adopted children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I've shared with you before that my grandfather, my dad's father, actually both of his parents were orphaned when they were younger. Neither of them ever adopted as children. This was back Depression era. And so they grew up not really having parents, not knowing their biological parents. And yet they became adopted children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. They had a father in heaven. And we can tell that same story. No matter where you're from or who your parents were or who your grandparents were, God calls us His people, His children, because we have found new life in Jesus Christ and He has adopted us into His family. And so in response to that good news, we can proudly declare that God is our loving Father. And we belong to Him through Jesus Christ. We are His and He is ours. And so we give thanks for that identity that we have, knowing that God calls us His own. The centerpiece of Psalm 100 is verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise, give thanks to Him, praise His name. And again, you can imagine the Israelites as they headed up to worship at Jerusalem. And they would sing the Psalms. That's what many of the Psalms were. In fact, some of them you read at the top. This one doesn't actually say it, but it was called a Song of Ascent. And many of the Psalms are entitled that. And it's an ascent because they would go up to Jerusalem. And it would be a song that they would sing as they would go up. And so you can imagine the Israelites singing these words as they would go up there to worship at the temple and singing aloud to God and hear the words actually say, entering into the gates around Jerusalem, around the city, there were gates, but there were also a couple of gates that would lead actually to the Temple Mount, where the temple would eventually have been built. And there they would enter into the courts around the temple, which is where the most people, that's as close as they could get. Only the priests could actually enter the temple, but the courts was their worship space. And so that's where they would go, and they would sing these songs of joy as they entered into God's presence. Because before Jesus came, God, they believed, and God told them He dwelled in a earthly sense inside the temple. And so they would go there and they would meet with God, and they would rejoice knowing that God welcomed them into that place. And we have that same wonderful truth, although for us it's even more wonderful. The Lord blesses us, and so we give thanks to Him. We live in a world that's full of bad news. Cynical attitudes are everywhere. Tragedy, corruption, sin. That seems like every time you turn on the news or open up the paper or look online, the news is filled with bad news. But we don't have to live or think that way. You can turn off the news, But we can also choose to give thanks to God for His goodness. We can remember that our God is good, despite the brokenness and the darkness of our world. I know that your life is not perfect. My life isn't perfect. But think for a moment of the good things that God has brought into your life. Your family, your friends, this church, your home. Think of the promises that God has made you. He's promised that He'll never leave you, that He will always love you. He's promised to take you to be with Him forever in heaven. It's the ultimate, final, great promise of God. And it may sound a little cliche, but counting your blessings is actually a spiritual discipline. Because it reminds us not that we are good people, not that we deserve the blessings. It reminds us that God is good and that He chooses to bless you. That He chooses to bring good things into your life. And so we remember all those reasons that we have to praise God, to enter into His courts, to lift up His name, to remember that He is good, and to give Him thanks for the blessings that He brings us. So we remember those blessings, and we give Him thanks. So the Lord fills us with joy. He calls us His own. He blesses us, and all of this leads to the undeniable conclusion that maybe is the most remarkable truth in this psalm, and maybe a bit surprising as well, and that is that the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and we declare His name. Verse 5 says simply, "The Lord is good, and His love endures forever." God is good. He's great, He's mighty, He's powerful, He's awesome and majestic and loving and all those things, but God is also good. And maybe we forget that sometimes. The world around us looks for reasons to doubt God's goodness. And primarily the reasons that they find are the people who call on God's name, right? We aren't always good. I know I'm not. And people look at Christians, those who call ourselves by the name of Jesus Christ, and they say, oh, well, if those people can do those terrible things, then God must not be a good God. And maybe we get pulled into that, and God's reputation gets tarnished by our sin, and we have some blame in that. But the reality is, and what we need to remember, is that that doesn't change who God really is. And it's time for us and the Church of Jesus Christ to start declaring again that God is good, that He is a good God, to attach His name to the best things in our lives. Sometimes Christians, and we're to blame for this, that we want to claim God's name for things that we wish were true that maybe God doesn't want to claim for us. Or that we want to claim God's name in defense of things that we have done that maybe God didn't want us to do. And so we need to start turning that around and instead attach God's name to those things that we know according to Scripture and according to God's wisdom are in fact good. Those things that will prove His love and His faithfulness. When we love other people, when we show compassion, when we speak truth, when we stand up for what is right, we show that God is good. Because He is good. The God that we know is always good. And everything that He does is motivated by His love for us. Even if we don't always see it that way. Even if we don't always understand it. So let me share a few ways that we can declare God's goodness. Maybe you've made some New Year's resolutions, and maybe you haven't, and you're looking for some. Or maybe you've already broken yours, and you need some replacements. So maybe this year you can declare God's goodness. Maybe that can be your resolution. So let me share three ways that we can do that. The first is by telling the story of Jesus. We just finished Christmas. Easter's not too far down the road in late April this year. Tell the story of Jesus. Why he came into the world. What he did while he was here. His miracles, his teaching. Why he went to the cross. Why he had to rise again. Tell the story of Jesus. It is the story that offers people life. So tell that story and learn to tell it just as simply and clearly as it's told in the Bible. Second, tell your own story of faith. Tell the story of what God is doing in your life, how he answers your prayers, how in the midst of difficulty, God's with you. How when you are feeling sorrow for the hard things that you face, God can bring you comfort. Tell that story. Because I can promise you there are other people who are dealing with the same sorts of troubles and sorrows and uncertainty and difficulty that you deal with. And if they don't have God in their lives to fall back on, imagine what they go through. And so your story of encouragement and comfort and peace that comes through knowing God surely will be a help and an encouragement to them. And then third, show God's goodness by being an example of who Jesus is. In other words, live your life to show the world what Jesus is like. The old saying, what would Jesus do? It's not a bad thing to think. How would Jesus respond in the situation you're in? What would Jesus say in this moment? We will never be as perfect or as good or as powerful as Jesus, but we do have His Holy Spirit living within us. And the Spirit is there for just this purpose, so that we can become more like Jesus. And as we do, we will show the world that God is in fact a good God. One of the clearest ways that we can declare who God is also just doing what we're doing here today, and that is gathering to worship. Coming together as a church family, praising the name of Jesus Christ, declaring who God is through our worship and by reading His Word and telling His stories through what we do here this morning. We sing, we pray, we open up His Word, we do these things so that we can declare to ourselves who God is, but also so we can say to Him that we are grateful for the type of God that He is. This morning we're also going to gather at the communion table. And in just a couple of minutes, we will go through this ceremony, this ritual of remembering that Jesus died for us. His body broken, His blood shed, so that our sins could be taken away. And we'll tell that story again in the meal. And we'll also remember that Jesus rose again to new life. And we know that as we worship Him here, as we celebrate communion, we know that Jesus, by His Spirit, is here present with us. And He will go with you no matter where you go this week and all throughout this year. So we begin this new year rejoicing in His love, by giving thanks, by remembering that our God is good, and by declaring, by committing ourselves to declare and how we live and the things that we say and all that we do, declaring that God is in fact good. So let me invite you to bow our heads and we'll make that commitment as we pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have adopted us as your children, that you've called us your people. And Father, I pray that you would help us in all that we do and all that we say to show the world around us that we belong to you and that you are good and loving and powerful and that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. So, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this new year, and I pray that you would help us to carry with us in all that we do, wherever we go, this good news that you are a good God and that Jesus is our Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.